Good morning and welcome to Shattering Myths. I am your host, Yada. On this program, we expose the misconceptions associated with religion and politics, with military and economic schemes. Instead of merely presenting the news this morning, I'm going to try to explain why these things are happening and what they mean to you. Then during our second hour, we're going to engage God on His terms through His Torah, which means teaching, not law, and by way of His covenant. If you're rational, this will be the best part of today's program. If you're religious and hold deeply held religious views, as we heard the pastor in the news segment, this will be the most irritating part of the program. Even information directly from God, even His testimony, will not be sufficient to dissuade you from your beliefs. Our phone number, should you wish to question, criticize, or affirm anything I have to say this morning, is 877-300-7645. Also, on occasion, we share the places that you can go to visit if you wish to find the evidence behind any of the conclusions presented on this program. For those interested in a very serious study of Yahweh's Word, His Torah, Prophets, and Psalms, I would recommend going to intro2god.org. For those interested in coming to find absolute proof of God's existence and of His having communicated to us, I would encourage you to go to yatayah.com. That's an analysis of prophecy, of predictions that God has made. And through those predictions, He not only proves His existence, but also proves that He authored the testimony that is presented in an intro to God. The intro to God provides you with the tools that you need to investigate on your own, to go on a voyage of discovery through God's Word, but doing so using a variety of tools so that this voyage is a personal experience between you and God. Also, if we're talking about Islam, the proof for everything that I will say about Islam can be found in prophetofdoom.net. And when we mention Paul, you'll find the book that proves that he was a false prophet at questioningpaul.com. So lots of resources, intro2god.org, yadayah.com, prophetofdoom.net, and questioningpaul.com. I think collectively between those four sites, you'll find some 7,000 pages of documentation proving what is going to be shared in today's program. The morning news spoke of deeply held religious beliefs. And, boy, when you hear that kind of thing and how they are being spoken in a political forum, it just makes you want to quiver. It is so sad that people have been beguiled into believing. I say that because, first, religions are all evil. They're all human constructs. They are the source of most evil on earth. If you look at destruction and oppression and beguiling and leading people astray and deaths over time, it's really impossible to find a foe more vile than religion throughout human history. Many of the worst things that have ever been done, men attacking other men, oppressing them, torturing them, murdering them, slaving them, are done in the name of religion. And so religion is something that God actually opposes. Religions will lie and say that they are the means to come to know God and to worship God, when in fact God cannot be known in any religion. There is the only gods that exist in religion are false gods. The actual creator God of the universe is vehemently opposed to religion, hates religion. In fact, the book of Yirmiyahu, corrupted to Jeremiah, was written expressly to expose and condemn religion. The Torah itself is an extremely anti-religious book. God hates religion, hates all that religion does in terms of misleading and beguiling people, oppressing people, robbing people of really the three gifts that God gave them. God gave us mortal life, and religion is a source of death. Billions of people have been killed in the name of religion. God gave us free will, and religion exists to usurp free will, to cause people to be compelled to agree to the terms and conditions of that religion, or they will lose their freedom. And many countries where religions are absolutely dominant, as they were through most of Europe for a better part of 1,000 years, should you choose to be one of the unique individuals that says, you know, this is really wrong, I do not want to participate in this religion, I'm not going to surrender my soul to this religion, be hunted down, killed, tortured, maligned. Now, religion exists to remove choice in Islam, in all of the Islamic countries today. If you were to choose to speak against Islam, you choose not to be a Muslim, life would become hell. You'd be fortunate to survive it. And, of course, the third thing that God gave all of us, the thing that makes humans unique among all other animals, is he gave us a nasama, a conscience, that which can be used to know, to understand, the ability to observe our surroundings and to be become cognizant of evidence is germane to all animals with a soul or consciousness. But the uniqueness of a conscience, so that we can differentiate between that which is true and that which is not, so that we can walk away from the failings of faith and belief and come to actually know God and to understand what he is offering us, is destroyed by religion. They would have you believe as opposed to know. They would have you express faith as opposed to understand. And so the cleric that was pretending to speak in the name of God was saying the very things that God detests most of all. He was advancing that which God detests most of all. Now, speaking of the byproduct of religion, a suicide bomber in eastern Afghanistan in the city of Khost murdered at least 14 people. Three of them were NATO soldiers, so in all likelihood they were American soldiers. And you have to ask yourself, why? And there's really two whys that we need to ponder here. The first why is, why would a religion motivate young boys and girls to strap explosives and projectiles to their bodies and to blow them up and killing people? You know, whether it be in a marketplace, whether it be in a mosque, whether it be in a police station, whether it be around a convoy. Why? You know, what is it about Islam that enables, well, first, that would motivate an imam, an Islamic prayer leader, an Islamic religious cleric, to beguile a child into doing this? What is it about the religion that causes the most fundamentalist Muslims, the best Muslims, the imams, to twist the minds, hearts, souls of young boys and girls so that they think that it is a service to their God to murder in this way, to be a suicide bomber? I mean, they're not motivated by outcast from society. The boys and girls who strap suicide bombs to their bodies are all motivated by the best Muslims, by the religious clerics. Those Muslims who flew planes into our buildings on 9/11, they were all motivated by a cleric in the Al-Qaeda Mosque in Hamburg, Germany. That's who beguiled them. So you have to ask yourself, why would the imam, the most religious of Muslims, encourage someone to do this? And then you have to ask yourself, why would the person who is the recipient of this religious information believe them? And then, the, of course, the next question is, and why are Americans and Brits there to become victims of all of this? What was it that they thought they could accomplish without first dealing with a religion that motivates such senseless, grotesquely immoral, and violent behavior? How are we going to trump the influence of the imams in Afghanistan and leave a country better than we found it? All three of those questions should resonate with every American, with every European, with everyone around the world that isn't a Muslim. In fact, they should resonate with every Muslim. What is it about this religion that causes that? And what is it about the United States and Britain that would cause those countries to risk the lives of their young men and women when there was no hope of prevailing? Well, in Islam, the answer is fairly straightforward. Allah was modeled after Satan. Muhammad was demon-possessed. And therefore, the views that are presented in the Quran are demonic. Therefore, rather than living being a virtue, dying is. Rather than nurturing life being a virtue, ending it is. Rather than truth being something that is upheld, it is lies that are exonerated. Rather than choice being opportune, being the prime directive, free will, Islam means submission. Islam is the antithesis of Yahweh's Torah teaching. Allah and Yahweh are opposites. And so it is in seeing Islam as it really is, knowing who Allah represents, that we understand the why of the imam. But now, when we return from the break, let's see if we can understand why of the suicide bomber, and then the why of the Americans who sent their sons and daughters there to die. I am Yada. This is Shattering Myths. Good morning and welcome back to Shattering Myths. I am your host, Yada. Our number, if you wish to challenge or anything I have to say or engage in this discussion, is 877-376-45. The lead line many online news sources this morning. This was from the BBC. A suicide bombing in eastern Afghanistan in the city of Khost has killed at least 14 people. Three of them are NATO soldiers, most likely Americans. Now, what's interesting is that this didn't even make the SRN news. It's not the kind of thing that probably even made the television news. I suppose that killing American soldiers in Afghanistan has become such old hat that it no longer matters to people. They don't even want to know about it anymore. But it is in knowing what is happening and then coming to understand it that we are best prepared to deal not only with the world as it is, but we also understand the world as it is becoming. And so, in this first segment of the program, we asked a number of questions. Why would the imam beguile a young boy or young girl to strap explosives to their body, exterminate their lives and 14 others in the process, telling them that what they were doing was a service to their God? Well, I answered that in the first segment. Allah was modeled after Satan. Muhammad, by his own admission, was demon-possessed. And therefore, the Islamic witness that is found in the Quran is demonic. Rather than embracing life, it is death that is embraced. Rather than an expression of free will, we find submission. rather than knowing, we find religious conviction. Rather than nurturing life, we find life destroyed. Religion is a horrible cancer. And while there are arguments that can be made that would suggest that Christianity is the worst religion ever conceived by man because it has negatively influenced more people, and during the time that it held sway politically over Europe, it was the most oppressive regime in human history and amongst the most deadly. Today, an argument, however, could be made that over the last 50 years, particularly with the rise of OPEC and the unique funding that the black ooze provides for this demonic religion, that today a strong argument can be made that Islam is the worst religion. But let us not forget that Judaism has become a horrid and beguiling religion because the Jewish people served by God's choice and by theirs as his witnesses to humankind, and by corrupting his testimony and creating a religion in place of the covenant relationship, the derivatives of Judaism. You know, Christianity is a derivative of the Jewish religion, as is Islam. That the derivatives, in addition to the religion itself, have probably had a greater negative influence on the minds and hearts and souls of people throughout human history, even though a very, very tiny percentage of the world's population actually practices any form of the Jewish religion. And let's not lose sight of the fact that socialist secular humanism is a derivative of Judaism as well. So we now know why the emim would beguiled the child to blow themselves up. Before we turn to my good friend Larry in Florida, let's address two other questions. One of them is, why would the child believe the religious cleric? Well, first, the religious cleric wraps themselves in credibility. They dress differently. They operate out of the most magnificent buildings in the city. They are revered by their parents and by their society as a whole. And so the religious cleric has the trappings of credibility. It's why do people flock to hear what the Pope has to say? Amongst the most evil, disgusting men in our society, and people want to hear what they say. Why do people go to church on Sundays to listen to the pastor? Why do they speak so reverently of the pastor following the services? I mean, the system is set up to elicit that kind of response. In the Islamic world, too, there is no alternative. Islam will not tolerate a rival. Satan will not tolerate a rival. And so in the Islamic world, there is no information that anyone can use that would enable them to free themselves of this lie. The truth is completely unavailable, and the lie is extraordinarily seductive and credible in terms of the way that it is presented. And that is the reason the children are beguiled. When we return, we'll consider, why was America beguiled, and do so in a discussion with Larry. I'm Yada. This is Shattering Myths. Welcome back to Shattering Myths. I am your host, Yada. For those who would like to engage in this discussion, our number is 877-376-45. We have two individuals on the line currently, Larry, who's a regular contributor to the program, and Nick, who has called the program two or three times in the past, also has a question that we'll get to after we've had a chance to chat with Larry. Good morning, my friend. How are you, Larry?
I'm doing good, Yada. How are you this morning?
Great. Love to hear your voice. It's one of those just great, booming, welcoming voices. You have a voice that's made for radio.
Oh, well, thank you. I appreciate that. I was wondering if we were made to be suckers over here in America. I mean, after all, why in the world would we be spending a fortune in treasure and also blood, which, you know, in no way can ever be repaid, to bring democracy to a group of people that have no interest at all in democracy, which is really not freedom to begin with.
All of those are just puzzling questions. What Larry is commenting on here, for those who have just joined us, is that the news story that we began our program with is that a suicide bomber in eastern Afghanistan took the lives of 14 individuals, three of them NATO soldiers and most likely American soldiers. And so we have to ask ourselves, not only why did the religious cleric beguile the child into doing this, why did the child believe the religious cleric and go ahead and do it, pull the trigger? And third, why did America send its sons and daughters over there to die at the hands of an Islamic suicide bomber, knowing full well that 9/11 was the product of an Islamic suicide bomber? You know, to realize that Islamic suicide bombers took down the Twin Towers and flew into the Pentagon and crashed that plane in Pennsylvania. And then you say, you know what I think we're really going to do here? Is the solution to this is let's put a couple of 100,000 Americans in harm's way where they don't have to fly airplanes. All they have to do is walk out of the mosque with a suicide bomb, and they can kill Americans more freely, which is why rather than just killing 3,000 Americans, they've killed 10,000 Americans in Afghanistan and Iraq. Why would we do that? And to that, Larry's comment is that maybe it's just because we're clueless.
It could be we're clueless, or it could be that the people that run this country are truly evil, and they have every intention of creating a chaos, because out of chaos comes control. And this is exactly what I think. I think they're working towards a one-world dictatorial government. People can call me crazy if I want to, but you know, that's really the way. It's the way a mafia organization works. The most evil people rise to the top. It's the way that government overall works. And if we're gonna, and I see them working towards exactly this. Look, we had Obama. The Obama administration notified Congress Friday that it would be giving a cash infusion of $450 million to the new Egyptian government.
Yeah.
Now, when is enough enough? I mean, why?
They're threatening to kill us on an everyday basis. They're rioting against us. They're burning our flags. They're saying death. They're chanting death to America. Why are we funding them? Why would America fund its avowed enemy?
It's brain dead. They're giving $450 million, I mean, to the Muslim Brotherhood. Just say it. That's what it is.
Of course, but we're giving $3 or $4 billion of weaponry a year to the Pakistani government, and they're a knowledge and avowed enemies of the United States. They run the Taliban, who this suicide bombing that just took place in Afghanistan that killed Americans, three Americans, that suicide bombing was instigated by the Taliban, and the Taliban is an agency of the Pakistani government. Why would the United States do this? And so what your conclusion is, and I think you've heard me say this before, Larry, I'm reluctant to delve into the conspiracy theories.
Right, but I'm not.
Okay, let me tell you, I have nothing to lose to stand
here and tell these people I don't believe that people, knowing full well what others are capable of doing when they put guns in their hands, unless they're retarded. I do not believe that these people are mentally retarded that are doing this.
Okay.
I think they know full well the damage that they're doing. Then you have to ask yourself, why are they doing this damage?
Right.
And I think they do the damage to create chaos, and I think out of chaos comes control.
Yeah.
That's what
let me explain why I typically don't engage in this, and yet why I'm not the least bit uncomfortable with Larry bringing it up. I think a little bit of a discussion about why I happen to agree with Larry, but don't often speak of this, would be apropos here. I've spent probably 6 months, 6 hours a, 8 to 10 hours a day, 6 days a week, studying the birth of what is considered the principal conspiracy theory, that which grows out of the Illuminati, conceived by Adam Weishaupt. There are two original source documents, or books that present the source documentation of Adam Weishaupt's creation. One by Abe Burrell, who unfortunately was a Roman Catholic priest. I have major issues with Roman Catholicism. In fact, we have a third caller, Peter from Alberta, Canada, that wants to speak about the sexual abuse in the Roman Catholic Church. I am an avowed enemy of the Roman Catholic Church. I think it is the most evil institution on planet Earth. Abe Burrell was a Roman Catholic priest, and he recognized that Adam Weishaupt was creating his new religion to counter the influence of Roman Catholicism and the union of church and state that existed throughout Europe. I've also, and that's a very long, difficult read. I've also read proofs of conspiracy. That was, and I think that's the correct title, that was written by Robertson also in the 1770s. In addition to that, I probably have read, I've read Quigley's book on Tragedy and Hope, which is a modern presentation of this. Epperson's The Unseen Hand, which is spectacular. I believe it's Jenkins who wrote the Creature from Jekyll Island. And probably another 50 books.
At this point, those are not conspiracies; those are facts.
Yeah, and so I'm pretty aware of the evidence, and
pretty aware.
I was going to write a book on the history of evil from Babylon to Bush. Was the beginning, and I was going to try to bring all that I had learned together, and then there's a reason I didn't do it. And it's really twofold. One is in the Torah, Prophets, and Psalms, there is a discussion of these conspiracies and the motivation for them. God's very upfront, saying that they exist. Speaks of greed and control being the and power being the mechanism behind them. And other than us knowing they exist, He dissuades us from emphasizing them in our communications with others. And there's a reason for that. And that is that that credibility is everything when it comes to Yahweh.
Sure.
He is infinitely credible. He is unchangeable. He is dependable. Everything that he has promised, makes certain, happens exactly as he has promised. You can rely on his covenant, because he has avowed for his covenant. And so God has shared with us that there are very few people who, like you, Larry, have invested the time to come to know him as he is, come to understand what he is offering, and third, are willing to devote the time and energy to sharing with others what he has revealed to us. And so I have chosen to emphasize his testimony, and in so doing, you find yourself, when you are conveying his testimony, spending an equal amount of time exposing and condemning religion. That's going to be Nick's question.
I agree with that tact. I spend my time trying to share Yahweh's words.
Yes.
Because what I realize is that whoever is at the top of this, and I happen to think it's the Jesuits, I really do. I think they're in control of it all. And whether Adam Weishaupt did it, it was a compete. It's like everything that competes with the Catholic Church, it gets swallowed up by them.
Yes.
But that's my opinion, you know, based on what I've read. And what I think, is that there is no way out. There's no survival gear you're going to buy. There's not a food store.
But we actually differ on that statement, but agree on the remedy. There is, and that's why, this morning I began by saying I want you to understand why the MM deceives, why the child that straps the bomb to their body is deceived, and why Americans are willing to send their sons and daughters over to die in a windless war. And so I think it is appropriate, Larry, and we agree on this, to expose and condemn man's institutions, religion, politics, militarism, patriotism, so that people understand those things are not reliable. There is no life raft for those. There is no solution there. Those things cannot be fixed. There is a solution. There is a life raft, and that life raft is 100% dependable. It's the Ark of the Covenant. It's Yah's vessel, and it is 100% reliable. The charts and maps and testimony that exist in it, the log that provides the direction to salvation, is 100% available to us to know, to understand, and to rely upon. And that's why we transition from exposing and condemning the things of man, religion and politics, patriotism, militarism, to bearing witness to the things that are of Yahweh, because that is the only solution, and it's not a collective solution. It's not a solution that will fix our country. It is a solution that will fix you and me.
Oh, that's a good point. There is no collective solution to the problem. There just isn't, because it's always going to fall back into voting. Voting is always going to fall back to theft and graft.
Right.
And the bottom line is we have no business, you know, funding terrorism. We got no business funding the Muslim Brotherhood. We've got no business in Afghanistan. We've got no business in Iraq.
Right.
You're not going to spread freedom and democracy by running around Iraq.
No.
You know, killing people. Right. I mean, it's just not going to happen. You're going to create more animosity is all you're going to do, and you can't break through to people that where the issues have been clouded. There it is. The issue is clouded.
Yep.
And Larry, we're the clouds or not.
We've come to a break. I'd love for you to stay with us. We're going to turn to Nick immediately after the break, but Larry, please stay with us, and we will return to Shattering Myths in a moment. I am Yada. Welcome. Hello and welcome back to Shattering Myths. I am your host, Yada. If you wish to engage in this discussion, you're free to do so. In fact, I encourage you to do so. 877-300-7645. We have Nick on the line. I'm going to turn to him in a moment, but we also have Peter from Alberta, Canada on the line, who wishes to speak about sexual abuse in the Roman Catholic Church, which is a subject that is near and dear to my heart. So I can't wait to engage in discussion with Peter and listen to what he has to say. But before we do, I want to welcome Nick back to the program. My understanding is that Nick has a question and that it's wants to understand why I refer to Hebrew when I compare religions. Is that correct, Nick?
The question is why do you compare other religions to what's written in Hebrew? Isn't there some other language that are even older than Hebrew to be compared to?
Okay. Let me answer that question for you, Nick. Hebrew is not only one of the oldest languages in the world. Hebrew is actually the first language that was communicated in writing using an alphabet. There were two languages, Akkadian and probably a form of Aramaic were communicated in a written form prior to the oldest evidence of the Hebrew alphabet, but they did not use an alphabet. They used cuneiform kinds of symbols, and so an alphabet is actually different than, for example, hieroglyphics or the cuneiform symbols. So the oldest form of written alphabet actually happens to be Hebrew, but that's not the reason that I use Hebrew. The reason I use Hebrew when I'm exposing and condemning religions, and I expose and condemn all religions. There is no religion that I don't expose and condemn. And the reason that I do so, referring to Hebrew, is that Yahweh, which is God's name, revealed his Torah, prophets, and Psalms to us in Hebrew. So if we're going to know exactly what God had to tell us, and particularly what he had to tell us about why he hates religion and wants us to distance ourselves from them, the Hebrew is the language he revealed himself. Now, this program is broadcast in English because the audience, their primary language for most listeners to the program is English. So my responsibility here is to communicate, to translate what God said in Hebrew into English.
You answered my question for the Hebrew. Another question.
Yes.
Something that doesn't make sense to me in Torah.
Okay.
Well, what you're saying is that God will save only those who come to understand him, to learn Torah, you know, practice it.
No, I didn't. That's the last part of it's untrue.
Okay, my apologies.
No apologies. Let me explain what I have said so that it's clear. What I've said is that salvation isn't God's primary purpose. Salvation is a byproduct of the covenant relationship. God does not set out to save people. He sets out to form a relationship with people. The means to that relationship, the means first to even knowing who God is, the only place that you can turn to know God as he actually is, as he revealed himself, is in his Torah. And the only place where the covenant relationship that God has offered us is presented is in the Torah. So if you want to come to know Yahweh as he is, which is a prerequisite for engaging in a relationship with him, and then you want to understand the terms and conditions of that relationship and its benefits so that you're in a position to decide whether or not you wish to participate in it, the only place that you can turn to come to know who God is and to understand the terms and conditions and benefits of the covenant relationship is in the Torah. Now, the last part of what you said, though, would lead us in the wrong direction. The Torah is not to be practiced. It isn't a set of rules to be kept. The Torah is instead teaching. It is guidance. It is direction. And so it's teaching and guidance to be observed in the sense of focusing on it and coming to know what it says and then understood so that you're in a position to capitalize upon it. So that's the statement that I have made, Nick. From there, what was your question?
So I understand that there's people out there that never heard about Yahweh or even anything about this kind of religion. What would they do? How are they going to even come to know Yahweh without...
Right. Okay, that's a great question. Unfortunately, we're at the end of this segment, the first hour of the program. I will answer your question at the beginning of the next hour, and then we're going to turn all of our attention to Peter in Alberta, Canada. I am Yada. This is Shattering Myths.
Hey, this is Steve Schultz, and you've been hearing top radio personalities talk about longevity and how people are...